that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We're coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this Saturday morning, July 16th, 2017. Where is 2017? 2017 is all but gone, but we've still got a few days left here. We'll bring the men on. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we'll say good morning to John.
Morning.
And we've got a special guest, our brother Leon from the great state of Missouri. Good morning, Leon.
Good morning.
And thanks for joining us this morning. And we say good morning to you, the remnant. Those of you that, you know, it's early from here west. It's a little early. Hadn't got the sun quite up this morning. It's not quite as early. You get back closer to the east coast, but as the time goes. But we do welcome you for joining us here. And John, you going to open us up in prayer this morning?
Yeah, I want to start out with a warning I think the Lord's given us regarding our president. So just give me a second here. I got to pull it up on my phone and put it together yesterday. Just a second. Okay. A warning from the Lord concerning our president. Surround the president with prayer. Pray that he finishes his full term of 8 years, because that is the period of grace that God has given his people to restore true JERUSALEM. We must plead the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ over him and his family, as well as Mike Pence and his family, and all that seek to restore the kingdom back to God, to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Heavenly Father, we call for warring angels to battle for us in the spiritual realm, binding all the demonic forces, spells, and witchcraft, and sending them into the abyss. We, his children who are called by his name, must become an army of prayer warriors such as this nation has never seen. If the witches can form a prayer watch in the night hours against our president, how much more can we, the sons of God, form a prayer watch over him? A feminist movement has risen up unlike anything we've ever seen, hell-bent on destroying our president. Father, send confusion into their camp, thwart their wicked plans, cause them to fall in the pits that they dig and be ensnared in the traps that they lay. We call upon all preachers, pastors, and teachers to mend your wicked ways and come to order, to seek the Lord's face, his truth, and his ways. Father, continue to bring those things that were done in the dark to the light, and let them be shouted from the rooftops. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, we pray. Amen. And Heavenly Father, we do pray that you would guide and direct us this morning. Give us wisdom and understanding, Lord. Give us the topics that you want spoken of, Father, those that affect your people, and show us how to tie them into Scripture. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. It is pretty evident that things certainly are different here this year than they were just a couple of years ago in this country. The attitudes of people, but certainly it's not that it's all better. I sure think that the attitudes of a lot of people are better. It seems like the economy is moving in a better direction, but you're right, John, that there's those that our enemies are in an uproar. Our enemies are just seems like they're calling out or pulling out all the stops to come and to continue to attack everything that is good and is right, from the president and the vice president on down.
I think that election in Alabama with Judge Roy Moore is a warning to his people, the watchmen over the House of Israel, that undoubtedly it's been a year, you know, since our president took office, pretty close to that, and it's a habit of Christian Israel to fall asleep and to become lax at our prayer, and I think that's the warning, because let's face it, even the Trump camp didn't think they were going to win that election that night. I mean, there was two great disappointments, or two great surprises, put it that way. One was that Hillary Clinton lost, and the other was that Donald Trump won, and that doesn't happen in very many presidential elections. I mean, the fact that they had already had a huge fireworks display set up, and I mean, they had cheated enough to win, and they cheated in this Alabama election, there's no doubt about that. I don't know if you heard, but basically they passed a law that they could destroy all electronic records right after the election, so there was no way that you could go and do an accurate recount, because all of that electronic information was gone. And then it was set up for appeal till after the election. Huh? Imagine that. Not going to do much good after the election, will it?
You know, when you mention the people of Israel, in the Hebrew, it's us, our people, falling asleep after it seems like things get better. Last Saturday, they had a gun show here in Laramie, and went down there, walked around it on Saturday, and I think Jason even came up and walked around it and was just looking around, and it was so very different again from just a year or two ago. There were more people there, but the prices were down. Prices on guns were down to where they were years ago. Prices on ammo were down. There was a lot more ammo. I heard a couple of the gun dealers talking, and one of them says, yeah, it sure would be nice to break the ice here, to go ahead and get some stuff moving. And this was 11 o'clock Saturday morning. They'd already been open for a while. And when you mentioned that, John, about the people falling asleep, it sure seems like that we see that, or I saw it anyway, seems similar in the gun industry there at that gun show, that you know, the people are like, well, we've got, you know, Trump's up there, so they aren't as concerned, I guess you'd say, as they were 2 or 3 years ago, even a year ago, it seems, just with matters of state, I guess you could say. So the repentance is still needed. The revival is certainly still needed among the people. They still need to be awakened. Anyway, it was just a thought. I saw a little similarity there, you know, just that little part of the economy, being how it had really, really backed off.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what. I mean, we know obviously the president's changed and stuff, but I've had a lot of people come up to me and say, boy, have you noticed how much easier it is to find ammo? I mean, like 22 ammo is everywhere, and it's super reasonable. And I was going to ask Jason, but I'm wondering if, did they ever restore that lead plant in the U.S.? And also, remember, they were taking all the brass, and they were sending it to China or something.
Yeah, you think about it, a lot of things have happened. But one of them was the lead. Yeah, they are producing lead again in the United States. Two, they overthrew the brass. They were shredding all the brass. Actually, I saw a batch come up on auction the other day. They started selling that back into the surplus. That's where a lot of the 223, 308, the remanufactured ammo, that's where they get their brass, is they buy recycled brass from the military, right? Because the military's got an abundance of, they only shoot new stuff coming out of Lake City. And basically, they sell it at auction in 55-gallon drums, and they put that back on the market, and people are selling that. Powder's more readily available based on EPA regulations. They had basically tried to shut all of them down based on EPA and regulations like that, so they had them running at virtually just a trickle. And, you know, it's down in that Kansas City area, Tulsa areas, where they have a lot of the powder manufacturers. And basically, one of the strange things is most of the powder is probably made in about a 200-mile radius.
Really?
Which isn't a good thing if there was ever a natural disaster out there. But so there's just been a lot of things like that. Another one of the things is they, all that ammo that, you know, I mean, you had all these government organizations that were buying 22 ammo. I mean, you had the post office was allotted so many millions of rounds, and BLM and Forest Service and city police and stuff like that, and they've been buying up ammo and stockpiling it like crazy. And I mean, I think that when they started doing that, it was one of those things. It was designed to keep ammo out of the hands of the people. And either they've got their ammo or their orders have been filled, and that put a lot more back on the market.
Well,
yeah, that's great.
Yeah,
you know, what's something, though, is you go to, I mean, it was, I was talking with a German guy the other day, and he grew up in, I believe it was Germany, maybe it was Sweden. But anyway, he was talking, and we were talking about the precious metals market. When the price is down, nobody wants to buy it. It's when the prices are up, you know, when it jumps, when silver goes from $16 to $20 and $20 to $25, that's when you're going to sell the most silver, and that's when people want to buy it. They'll buy it when it jumps from 25 to 30 and 35 to 40 and 45 to 50. They'll buy it. When it's at $16 an ounce, nobody wants to buy it, especially here in the United States. It's the same thing with the gun market and the ammo market. And, you know, we were talking about it, and he's just, it's so mind-boggling to him, because, you know, he's like, you're supposed to buy when the price is right, when the price is low. And it's just not that way, and it's not that way in the ammo market. I mean, you got 50 people that want 22 ammo, and if they go in there and they can't get it, they want it. If they see one table with it, they'll go over and they'll buy every box on it. And that's the way it's been for such a long time. Now you walk into a gun show, and there's still people that haven't got it yet, that have talked like, well, they needed cases and cases and cases of it, but they walk in and they see 20 tables with it on the table, they won't buy one box. And the price is half of what it was a year ago. It's just completely opposite of the way it should be.
Wow. What were you going to say, Leon?
Yeah, I work for a company that we sell a lot of grass to places like Remington and Winchester and all those places. And they announced that this year alone there's been a 7 million pound reduction in our sales that was projected to be there because of the lack of people buying ammunition.
Wow.
So I just wanted to put that in there. Now, it doesn't affect my particular location. We are, praise the Lord, doing very well. But the rest of the corporation is really suffering because of a lot of those setbacks. I believe there's an HTK that just recently had some type of explosion, and they're having trouble even making the ammunition right now. So I just want to interject that, so I'm kind of aware of some of the inside stuff of that being in the corporation that I work for, and there is a big reduction in the amount of ammunition being manufactured.
Mm-hmm. Well, you think about it, with all the gun violence we've had lately, typically the ARs and things like that would have went through the roof, and from what I heard, it's not the case.
No, and well, it was what usually drives that is they come out and they automatically start talking about legislation. Oh, we need to ban these black rifles. We need to take away these.
Yes.
Nobody needs to have anything like this. You know, we got to get them out, and then they'll start talking about confiscation. They'll talk about how you're never going to be able to get it again. They'll say we need to take it away. It's going to have a safety button. It's going to have this. It's going to have that. You know, we need to require DNA when somebody purchases one, and they need to have an ankle bracelet. I mean, you know, that's what generally drives the market. I mean, and then you go to a gun show after that, and you know, everything's sold out. But you know, this, I mean, we finally got some people in office that realize that guns don't kill people; people kill people. You know, how about we outlaw idiots? I mean, you know, it, and see what that does.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would actually be a good piece of legislation, but I think the bad part about that, you'd have to build more prisons, more than we have now. So, and Brother Leon, I wanted to ask you kind of what you saw the tone. You're kind of there in central Missouri and get around some of the bigger cities there occasionally, and you know, right there in the Midwest. Are you seeing a change maybe in you know, or sensing a change in the attitudes or the tones of the people that you talk to, whether at work or just out and about, here in the last year?
You bet. And you can really tell those prayers that we've been offering, the pistol prayer, is really taking effect.
Well, praise the Lord for that.
Out there is really just fake news, no matter where it comes from. Even that sly news network called Fox, you know, they're understanding
yeah.
And it's even fake. So, you know, it's good and it's promising. You know, we know in the end that we have victory in Jesus Christ. So it's good to see their control over the minds of the people, that they are losing that control over the minds of the people. In fact, I heard it said by media that it's not right for President Trump to use his tweets to influence the population, that it is the news media job to influence the population.
Yeah, they're not liking the competition. They just don't.
And there's
wow.
Awakening going on where, you know, for a, I say, identity, where white people I can see are more concerned about each other. You know, it's okay for the black man to be concerned about his people, or the Chinese to be concerned about his people, or the Muslims to be concerned about his people, but if all of a sudden you're a white, Anglo-Saxon, Caucasian, Germanic, or kindred people, and you care for your people, well, you are evil beyond control. And it's good to see the men that I see and I talk to, they're starting to have a care and a love for their people again, and that just restores right back to their God, Jesus Christ. You know, it's, it all ties in together.
That is good to hear. That is good to hear. I did see a quick news headline that President Trump had said something like, you know, we should care more about, less about illegal aliens and more about the, you know, people that, that are being killed in this country by illegal aliens. And that in itself is just a complete turnaround. You know, this mess of this lady that was killed in California, and the illegal alien found not guilty. You know, he stole a gun and shot her dead with witnesses, and he's found not guilty.
He found it laying on the pier, and he kicked it and went off.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Por favor, si, señor. Oh, Indoro el Chocho. So there's still that insanity that's out there. It's not that everything has changed, but Leon, I'm glad to hear that there at the Midwest. It seems like we're seeing that kind of all over, or at least in places, that there is that awakening, that yawning, that stretching, that people opening their eyes, waking up to the reverse discrimination, waking up to the insanity. You know, Jason kind of brought a little update on the Bundy trial and all that mess that's been going on, and I'll tell you, that's even made, there's been updates on that even make our little local fence post. They're running 3 and 4 and 6 page articles in there explaining that out, which, you know, a couple years ago when this first started happening, they were not doing that. And so little changes, I think, we're seeing here, we're seeing there, I sure see it as that. It is an awakening, a realization that, you know, just because the media puts all this stuff out, yeah, telling people they should be ashamed of being white, and that's the cause for all this, it's just the flavor of the month, and the people are seeing it. I think the people are—they're not buying it. They're seeing through it more and more.
Well, one of the things that we've had is we've seen recently is we've had a war on the media. I mean, you know, with all this, everything that's gone on, even through this election, you know, we saw an attack on the media, and the media got exposed for a portion of what they are responsible for. And is what a lot of people don't realize it, but they're realizing it in small doses, that there's 5 corporations that own 90% of the media worldwide. And there's been a number of articles written on it, and I mean, it's a very factual number, and, you know, it could be slightly higher than that. But you think about that. 5 corporations worldwide owning 90% of the media. That's the newspapers, that's the television stations, that's the studios, that is the newspapers, that's the magazines, that's the radio, that's your news, which you get your news blips on online, and everything that links back to them. So,
they're all on one nationality, too.
Yeah, exactly. And they're all one goal is to overtake the world, you know, whether people want to realize it or not. They want to program you. They want to program you to when to spend money, when not to spend money, and they do it through, you know, it's basically, if you have the masses all looking at you and thinking that you're getting the truth of what is happening out there, it's no wonder they call them sheep, and because that's exactly what they do, and they're looking to their shepherd. Which is the news media, whether it's the television, whether it's the computer, whether it's the newspaper. I mean, that's their shepherd. I know that just about every stockbroker, stock investor, real estate agent, whatever, however they do that has anything to do with the economy, you know, they pick up the paper, they look at the, they pick up a paper and read a newspaper every day, you know, and they got to see what the stocks are doing, they got to see what the Dow is at, they got to see what this is at. you know. And I mean, you think about it. You got that many people doing it, looking to it. You can manipulate anything. You can make it do whatever you want. And you know, it's the reason that the rich keep just getting richer and richer and richer. But I think that that's one of the things that I'm excited about, is because there's a lot of people that don't that are starting not to believe it. You know, it's like that. Spell is being broken, and that's what it is
yes.
spell cast upon the world. But
mighty
it's
weapon.
Being broken, yeah. And you've got these people that, I mean, I had three people this week that told me that were ticked off at Fox News Network, and I mean, it was, but they were diehard Fox News fans. I mean, it was the things that I never thought would come out of their mouth. Because, and it was like, I mean, it was like saying something against their God to them. I mean, it was just, it shocked me. But they're starting to realize that, okay, yeah, well, you know, it's all the same. Or it's, you know, this, they're owned by the same corporation that CBS is owned by. You know, whatever it is, but people are realizing it. And I thought that was really encouraging, just to hear them say something bad about Fox News.
Yeah, what's encouraging is that number of sealed indictments now, is from what I hear and what I've read, is up to 5,000. And
wow.
It's supposed to be one fail swoop. You know, they got to make sure that in today's day and age, there's so many judges that are bought and paid for. And in fact, that's interesting. Just the other day, that the judge who issued the FISA warrant against the Trump camp, he was the judge was the one that they put over the Mike Flynn, General Flynn's case. So he just recused himself from that. And there's only like 12 judges that can do FISA warrants. So that's significant. And I really think in January we're going to see an upheaval in not only the government, but also high-ranking judges, high-ranking police officials. A lot of this is the pedophilia scheme. A lot of it's the child trafficking. But there's definitely treason charges, and we really need to pray that the laws of God are enacted in these things. And what's somewhat encouraging is you got people that are talking about, I guess back in the early 60s or something, there was a husband and wife team who sent the plans for the nuclear bomb to Russia. I think that's how they got it. But when they found that out and they had the proof, there was a trial, they were found guilty, and they were executed. There was no 50 years on death row or anything like that. It was treason, and it was dealt with immediately. And that's what needs to happen. Otherwise, it's just going to continue to happen. If there's no consequences other than losing your job, then, you know, we're just setting the stage for the next band of thieves. But to me, that's encouraging. And the other thing I think is encouraging is if you read 2 Kings when you get a chance and plug Donald Trump into as Jehu, as it's kind of interesting in my opinion, because remember our pastor used to always call William Jefferson Clinton and Hillary Rodham Clinton Ahab and Jezebel.
Yes.
Yeah. And there's more truth to that than we can even imagine when you start to look into 1st and 2nd Kings and the reign of Ahab and the reign of Jezebel Clinton. So Jehu, right, he goes to Jezreel, and this is funny too, because it says here the driving of his chariot is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he drives furiously. Well, if you think of Trump, he's kind of, you know,
it's been a little different than in the past, that's for sure.
Yeah,
it's been a furious thing.
But the great thing is, he says the things that most people have wanted to say for a long time. And So then you see, these are just a couple little points, but I'm hoping to bring a whole series of messages starting the first of the year. But anyways, so Joram, who was Ahab's son, he ruled for 12 years. Well, if you look at the abomination, from the time he got into the United or into Illinois Senate to the time that he spent 8 years in presidency was 12 years. So there's a lot of things. There's nothing new under the sun, right? How many times does it tell us that in Ecclesiastes? So then, after Jehu threw down Jezebel, he's on his way to the palace, and he meets a holy man, Jehonadab. Well, if you think about it, Jehu, President Trump, on the way to the palace, who did he meet? He met Mike Pence. And without Mike Pence, he probably wouldn't have won the Christian vote. And the Christian vote is what it took to bring him into the presidency. So there's so many comparisons. It's pretty awesome.
Well, looking forward to...
Just looking here.
Looking forward to that. Go ahead, Leon.
I was just looking here in the scriptures and listening to what Brother John was talking about and the importance of prayer. And he's right. We as a watchman in Israel have been neglecting our prayer life. And it's important that we do pray. You know, our God isn't a sugar daddy. We just can't all of a sudden see that we need something and then call upon him and expect him to always answer. But we need to be continually in a fervent prayer life.
Yes.
And I was thinking also when he was talking about judges, you know, to pray in Isaiah 1:26, which says, "Then I will restore your judges as at first, and your counselors at the beginning. After that, you will be called the city of righteousness, a faithful city." That is true. That is the word of God, and it's important to pray that, you know, that these judges be restored as at first. We had righteous judges in this land for a long time. I'm not going to say hundreds of years, but for ever since 1620, the Pilgrims landed, we've had righteous judges until the last 50, 60 years, and where the enemy has been infiltrating our judges with these children of the devil. So, and it is right, you know, we have got to keep that relationship with our God. You know, he wants to be more than just our Savior, more than just our Lord, more than our God. He wants to be our best friend. And what kind of best friend would he be if you're only going to call on him when you need to borrow his truck? You're only going to call on him when you bailed out of jail. You know, he's... He might just say,
yeah,
well, this time you're on your own.
Yep.
We have a chance like never before to restore the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ to the to this land, you know, J-A-R-U-S-A-L-E-M. And I think we forget sometimes, but there's several Supreme Court justices that are well up into their 80s. Ginsburg and I forget the other ones, but... And then you got even Dianne Feinstein. She's in her late 80s. You know, she's been causing havoc for the American people for how many years? And then if you look, there's a number of them that are stepping down now, too. And from what I've read, it appears that they have the goods on them. And they go to them. They say, look, here's your choices. You can either step down. You can resign. And I think we're going to see a bunch of people resigning, too, in the next beginning part of 2018. So these are all good things, but we, you know, without us continuing to pray, see, think about this. We know that the enemy has power, right? Our pastor taught us that we get our power through prayer and praise and worship and fasting, but they get their power through pain and suffering and death. So they do have power. So sometimes when we see the things that our president's doing and they don't line up with what we believe is God's will, could it be that maybe we're not praying enough to protect him from the prayers of the evil ones who are affecting him? That's what I think.
It's always good to know. Just like the Judge Roy Moore not getting elected for the Alabama senator.
Yep.
You know, God can work that out for good. We're told in the scriptures that he is able to work all things out for good, and that's talking about bad things. We may think that we have lost ground there, but God can work it out perfectly. You know, wouldn't Absolutely. It be great to have him as a Supreme Court judge?
Yep, that's I was thinking the same thing.
Yep, wouldn't that be awesome?
Yep, because John, all those people you were talking about, John, the several Supreme Court justices and Feinstein and all that, you could have thrown an adjective in there, a word that describes who they are, and it's Antichrist.
Tares.
It is those, that's right, yes. Tares. They hate Jesus Christ. They hate it. They spit when they say his name, and or when they think his name, when they hear it. They hate him, and they hate his followers. And those are the people that have been, you mentioned it in your article, calling the shots, the Antichrist, the perverts, and they're being exposed. And that's one of the big changes, is that you're right. They're being gone to and saying, hey, you know, your time's up. Your time's up. It's time for you to go one way or the other. And they give them
the
choice.
Think of this, too, as another comparison is, so when you read the story of Jehu, he used to be under Ahab. He was in Ahab's army. Now, President Trump was good friends with Bill and Hillary Clinton back in the day, and he used to be a champion of abortion, and he was a Democrat, and he was an Antichrist, and he changed. There's another, that's a huge comparison, because Jehu, God anointed him and used him in a mighty way to destroy Jezebel and to restore the kingdom. I mean, there's so many comparisons. It's eerie.
That's one of the great things about this living word, and is that, you know, when we were reading Kings last year, this didn't come to mind. This wasn't happening. The comparison wasn't there. But it's a new year. It's a new day. It's a new month. And now it's being revealed. It truly is. You know, here in 2 Kings 6, Leon, I turned here when you were talking earlier about the importance of prayer. And I encourage you to read 2 Kings 6. Start about 15. That's when Elisha and his attendant, you know, the army's coming against them. They've been sentenced to death. The army's coming against them. And it says, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So Elisha answered and said, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed. Then Elisha prayed. See, it wasn't just done. And he knew it, but he prayed. And he said, O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened his servant's eyes, and he saw, behold, the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And then Elisha prayed again. So when this army came against Elisha and his servant, Elisha knew, maybe like we might know, but Elisha didn't rest on that knowing and just said, don't worry about it, bud, we got it covered. No, he prayed, and when you read through it, he prayed again, blind him, Lord. And he had victory. The victory, it's a great victory there. And I think that's a lesson for us that, you know, we're in that today. Sometimes it even seems, we see, you know, things like the Bundy trial that haven't turned out the way we thought they should. Or, you know, we're still getting Border Patrol agents attacked and killed by illegals and you know, things aren't quite the way we think they should be fast enough. And I think we need to remember the words of Elisha here. Do not fear. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And that number, you know, that in a way, I think it's part of the beginning of that teeter-totter transfer that our pastor talked about and taught us, is that there is a shift. There is a shift, a change happening. And we have to remember, when we read about these things in the Word, it's not just, many times these things didn't happen just overnight. And then, you know, 2 hours later this, and 2 hours later that. Many times these were days, weeks, months, years sometimes, before the people, you know, returned to God, before the people saw this, before it got out throughout all the land.
Yeah. Well, one good indicator of whether they're for us or against us is their position on abortion. And if you look at, I never realized it, but when you look back to the 90s when William Jefferson, Ahab Clinton, and Jezebel were in the White House, they did more to destroy the morality of the people than probably any other administration. And even in this last election, a lot of people didn't notice, but Planned Parenthood, for the first time ever, endorsed a candidate, and it was Hillary Clinton. And they named her Person of the Century, I think it was. I'm going to talk about it a little bit tomorrow in the message, Lord willing, but God gives us all these indicators, and I still believe that one of the biggest keys to taking the kingdom back is to expose this abortion for what it is, sacrifice to Moloch. So many people don't even, never even heard that. They have no clue, and when you bring that up, they're like, wow, I never even thought of that. But yeah, that makes sense, you know?
Right.
So these are the, and we have to start on the local level. Like I said, I've been spending my lunch hours just over there and praying. We got a new prayer that we put together that's in the newsletter, and probably pray that tomorrow as well. But it's a powerful prayer against Planned Parenthood and against all those who fund it. And because if we can cut them off from that power that they get, I read something the other day and it floored me. They say that 70% of the abortions are from people who call themselves Christians. Can you imagine the power that our enemy gets from 70% of all the babies that are killed from our Christian women who sacrifice their children for what?
Well, they're not Christian
mostly
women.
Well, they call themselves Christian, put it that way.
And there is a big difference between calling yourself a Christian and being a Christian.
Yeah,
but at least the people don't know that they are. Right, they don't know. And you think about the double-mindedness that comes with that. They say one thing, and yet they do another. You know, the word says, you praise me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. Tell me that doesn't describe those people. That they say, oh, I'm a Christian, but they go do these things? And you're right, Jason, they aren't. But they say that they are. Think about just the confusion, the spell they just buy into, you know, by doing that, saying one thing and doing another.
Well, I thought of this the other day. Think of the boost in immorality when all of a sudden, in fact, it's more than ever now with the RU486 pill and whatever else, but there's no consequences for fornication. So you get a pregnant, big deal. Go buy a pill, you know?
Yeah.
That was a big deal in the conversion of the people's morality.
Sure. See, they think
because
there's no...
If there's consequences, if there's a child at the end of that rainbow, there's consequences, you know, that's going to curb the amount of immorality in the country.
Sure. See,
and they know
think,
that, you know?
They think there's no... That's what's been presented to them. That's one of the big lies that's been presented to now second, third generation, because you've got second and third generation of our people, not the blacks in the ghettos, but of our people that are like you're saying, John, that just go out and do whatever they want to do, and they think that there's no consequences, but there is. There is, and
that's a huge door.
Yes,
to letting the enemy into your life.
Yes,
and it's sad how many people have opened that door through abortion, or even any part in it. If you're you know, the other end of that, and you funded it, or you talked your girlfriend into it, or something, you're just as guilty. And let me tell you something: it's murder. And
it
you
is.
Better confess it.
Absolutely.
And you better get it out of your life. God
Absolutely.
Is faithful. He will forgive. And once he forgives, that sin is not remembered anymore as far as the east is from the west. But until you come forward and you claim, you confess that sin, and you ask for forgiveness, you are guilty of murder.
Amen. Amen. Yes. And Jason, you brought this up in the last week or two, that, you know, you wouldn't have this big, huge abortion going on if you didn't have all this premarital sex and fornication, which is sin,
yep.
which is we're warned against. It's against God's law. He tells us not to be that way. He says that's how all the other people are. That's how the people that originate in Africa are. And that may be how the Chinese are. And that may be how the Zimbabwes are or whatever. But he says you don't be that way. Because, and because we as a society haven't obeyed his law, we see this is one of the many consequences that we go lower and lower, and the alien among us goes higher and higher. Even just in their strength and power, like you've talked about, John, in this Volume 9 newsletter, time to cut off their power. You know, when God's people sin and live in fornication and choose that sin for a season over obedience to God, the consequences are horrific. Yesterday's Bible reading plan was the Song of Moses, Deuteronomy 32. And in our Bible reading plan right now, we're now at the end of Deuteronomy. Moses has died. He's handed over the reins. But that Song of Moses, I encourage you, go back and read that. Deuteronomy 32. And it is it's in line with Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and the curses. But it describes what has happened, what will happen, of course, from that point of view, but here it's what has happened and what is happening. The sin and just how horrific it is when we turn away from God. I like how you put that, John. That it is sin, but you know what? It's good news. God and the gospel are good news, because if you'll confess that and repent and return to Him, all through the Scriptures, He's standing there like the prodigal father, waiting for His people to do that, to return to Him. Anyway, sorry.
Well, I think, you know, I mean, one of the things that the fact is, the matter is, 83% of abortions are from unwed, unmarried women. And out of that, the other 16% are the married that are got pregnant by somebody other than their husband. So that takes in 16 and 83 is 99. That's 99% of the abortions right there.
Yep, they're caused by sin.
Wow.
It's just that domino effect. One causes another, you know. Reminded me of when that dam out in Washington or Oregon or whatever started tearing up this year, this past year or last year, whenever it was. It started just as a little bit. Yeah, wherever it was, I don't remember right now, but it started just a little bit. A little crack, a little trickle coming here, and before you knew it, it washed the whole thing away. And that's how this sin is. A little bit. We talk about the camel getting his nose in his tent. I don't have a camel, and I don't have a tent up too often, so it's kind of hard to relate to that. But I like how you put that, Jason. That's what abortion is from, and it's just as horrible as the sin that causes it.
But look at our enemy, how methodical they were. First, what did they do? They had to remove prayer from the schools in 1963. Then within a year, they made it illegal to read your Bible in the schools. And then in the early, I don't know, maybe 70s, they started bringing in sex education. Well, on the surface, they're masters at disguise, you know. Planned Parenthood sounds good, right? The average person thinks, oh, well, that's good. Yeah, they should.
They
should plan for, you know.
Oh, yeah, they push
but
and promote. Oh, it's
what
women's
they choose.
Yep. Women's health.
When I was, I remember talking with Dad about it, and we were sitting in his office, and he said, bringing sex education into the school, that's like giving these kids a gas can full of gas and a box of matches and say, don't start fires.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
What do you think's going to happen?
Exactly.
But he was one of the few who had eyes to see and ears to hear, and he understood what was going to happen when that was brought into the school districts. And he's one of the few who went there and protested and told them that, no, my daughter, my son won't be sitting in these classes.
Right. Guys, we got a phone call. We got time. Let's take a phone call this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi, guys. If you look at what's going on, usually like in England, they usually put some of this stuff out there and float it there first, institutionalize it there first. And then from there, they move it over and they try it out in California. then from there they roll it out across the country once they get it institutionalized there. But I don't know if you heard this or not. This was just out on, like on some of the online news over the last couple of days. They passed a new law in England. It's against the law to make any public depiction of a typical family, because it's an affront
wow.
to those who don't have that type of old-fashioned family. In other words, an advertiser can no longer have a woman working with any kitchen utensil. You can't have a picture of like a guy and a woman and some children as like, you know, in an ad, because that
crazy.
You'll get jailed now for this stuff.
Yeah.
That's how, you know. But when you go back, just, you know, I mean, how many years ago was it? Not that many, when the fags were sitting there going, we just want our rights. And what difference does it make to you what we do in the privacy of our bedroom? What difference is it to
yeah.
you? Well, look at what they've done with this. You know, you gave them that inch, and look at how they're putting you in the closet now.
Yeah.
You can't even have a depiction of a normal family anymore, or you're going to go to jail for it. That's how far they've taken their agenda.
Yeah, good point.
Well, if his people who are called by his name humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, then God's promise is there. He will forgive our sin and heal our land. And that's the only thing. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus is going to cleanse this nation and protect us. And it's up to us as Christians to do what we said we're going to do, to hit our knees and to cry out for grace and mercy and wisdom and protection for those that God is raising up.
Amen.
Because that's where we're at.
Amen. Thank you.
You read the story.
Thank you for the
Jehu,
call, brother. Appreciate it.
You read the story of Jehu, it wasn't that long when he fell away again. So the only thing that's going to restore this kingdom and this nation is a whole multitude of Elijahs being risen up across this country. Those men who Dad called for many years ago, real men who will not bow their knee to Baal and boldly proclaim no king but King Jesus, no matter what the consequences. That's the only thing that's going to restore this land.
Amen. Well, guys, we're wrapping up. Brother Leon, you got a minute or two, some final comments you want to share?
Yes, I do. I was recently given an opportunity to speak at a local Assembly of God church. And I was under conviction about what to speak upon. And I just asked, I wanted the Lord to give me a message. And the particular message he gave me was on fasting. So I was able to bring a message on fasting. I just wanted to touch places. Now, we mentioned 2 Chronicles 7:14, and it says, those that humble themselves. Well, fasting is a self-appointed way that we humble ourselves. And Jesus says many times,
yep.
yeah, you know, when you pray, well, he says, when you fast, he expects mm-hmm. us not only to be praying, but also to be fasting. I think mm-hmm. it was Charles Wesley, I think he's the leader of the founder of the Methodist Church. He required all of his early ministers to fast at least 2 days a week on Wednesdays and Fridays. Well, I happened to look into that a little bit more, into the Dictionary of Early Christian Beliefs. And it was taught by the early Christian fathers the importance of fasting on Wednesday, because Jesus Christ was betrayed on Wednesday. And also on Fridays, because the passion that Jesus Christ had that held him to the cross, it was his passion, his love that held him to the cross. It wasn't those nails that held him to the cross, but his passion that held him to his cross. So since... Now, I was convicted that I needed to implement those days of fasting also. Now it's only till what they call the ninth hour, around 4 o'clock on those particular days. But whenever I have hunger pains, I want to concentrate on Jesus Christ. But we don't know how many times we're fasting. First of all, Satan does not want us to fast. All right, he does not want us to fast. So how many times those pains that we have, or hunger pains, are actually coming from him. But if when you have those hunger pains, you concentrate on Jesus Christ, on either that he was betrayed and had part of his betrayal on Wednesdays, or you concentrate on his passion, that love that he has for you that held him to the cross, you'll find out that all of a sudden most of those hunger pains disappear pretty quickly, because Satan doesn't want you to fast, but he sure doesn't want you to think about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we, as people of his people who are called by his name, we cannot neglect the importance of not only the prayer, but also living a life of fasting. And fasting isn't a fast unless it's a sacrifice. So it's important that we sacrifice during that time of fasting and humble ourselves. It's God's appointed way to humble ourselves. So anyways, I just wanted to bring that up in closing. That we as a people don't fast enough. And it has been really a godsend that since I've had that message, that my wife and I have implemented that into our lifestyle, is fasting on those two particular days. And it has been a blessing. So anyways, I just wanted to bring that pointer out before we close.
It's proven health-wise, too. I think Jason can probably back that up. But I think a three-day fast of water only causes your cells to regenerate and kind of revives you. So it's definitely a good thing. God made it not only for our spiritual benefit, but also for our physical benefit.
Yeah, we can't outgive God with our time. We can't outgive God with our prayer. We can't outgive God with our tithing. And we can't outgive God when we fast either.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Well, guys, we are about out of time. I want to make sure we invite you to come to church with us tomorrow. We'd enjoy having you join us. ScripturesForAmerica.org. You can click on the live video stream starting at 8:30 Mountain, 9:30 Central, and 10:30 Eastern. And we will have a whole slew of, I'll just say, stuff for you, from some news to communion, some classic truths, teachings from our pastors that sure seems every time we see them they apply more today than they ever have before. So, and I'm looking forward to what you're bringing, John, kind of along with what you've talked this morning. So we welcome you there. We ask you, if you're going to come in person, give us a call first. Let us know you're coming. That'll make it better all the way around. But you can join us right there, scripturesforamerica.org. Guys, thanks again, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 shake off. This country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Listening to the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, broadcasting a politically incorrect message you truly can't get anywhere else. SFAWBN features music shows, health shows, science programs, roundtable discussions, as well as messages by the late pastor Peter J. Peters. To see our full program schedule, visit SFAWBN's website at SFAWBN.com. That's SFAWBN.com.